I will tell you a Zen story, so I just had to set the right mood. No Hindu Bindu today, we are Zen. Before he had realized his own enlightenment, Tokuzan planned to visit the famous Zen master Sojin, who lived on a mountain in Ryutan. When he arrived at the foot of the mountain, Tokuzan found a tea house by the roadside, and he thought that he might have a snack before climbing the mountain to Sojin. He ordered his snack from an old woman at the tea house. Snack in the Chinese language is denjin, which means literally to light up the mind. The old woman asked Tokuzan, "What do you have in that big box on your shoulders?" "I have a most valuable sutra called the Diamond Sutra. In it," Tokuzan said. "Is that so?" she asked. "Then I have a question to ask you. If you can answer my question, I will provide you a snack. If, however, you should fail to give me a satisfactory answer, I'm sorry, but you will have to go without the snack." Tokuzan was proud and confident and a famous scholar. He replied, "All right, you might ask me any question." At this, the woman said, "In the Diamond Sutra, it is written that past mind is unattainable. Present mind is unattainable. And future mind is unattainable." The old woman continued, "You say you are going to light up your mind. Which mind now are you going to light up? Which mind now you going to light up?" Tokuzan was not able to answer the old woman's question. He had to admit his inability to give the answer. And at the suggestion of the old woman of the tea house, he was determined to study Zen under Master Ryutan. Sometime later, Master Ryutan and Tokuzan were spending the evening together. Ryutan said, "It is getting dark. You better return to your own place." Tokuzan said, "Good night then, Master," and stepped outside. A few moments later, he returned to the Master saying, "It's so dark outside." The Master lit the candle to give to Tokuzan, but just as Tokuzan held out his hand and was about to get hold of the candle, Ryutan blew up the flame. At this very moment, Tokuzan was awakened and made a deep bow to the Master. Very beautiful story. Before he had realized his own enlightenment, Tokusan planned to visit the famous Zen master Soshin, who lived on a mountain in Ryutan. When he arrived at the foot of the mountain, Tokusan found a tea house by the roadside and thought that he might have a snack before climbing the big mountain. He ordered it from an old woman who owned the tea house. Snack in the Chinese language is denjin, which means literally to light up the mind. The old woman asked Tokusan, "What you have in that box on your shoulders?" This woman is not an ordinary woman. She is a wise woman. Who go on living her life, having that tea house. But once in a while, of course, he has to have some fun. She has to test people and test herself. So she didn't miss the opportunity when this Tokusan came. He was a famous scholar. He has studied the scriptures. And she knew he was seeking something. So now she could play a bit. And these scholars and religious people, they tend to be very serious because they have their head full of the scriptures. They know. Maybe, most probably, she had been with this master, Ryutan, before. "What you have in your box on your shoulders?" "I have a most valuable sutra called the Diamond Sutra in it," Tokusan said. "Is that so?" Everybody knows about the Diamond Sutra. It's one of the most valuable Buddhist sutras. And Japan is Buddhist, so she must have known. But she just said, "Is that so?" Not impressed at all. That was the first hint that she's not an ordinary woman. "You don't impress me with your monk outfit and your big books. Is that so? Okay, let's go deeper," she was thinking then. That was not a good answer. "Then I have a question to ask you. If you can answer my question, then I will provide you with a snack. If, however, you should fail to give me a satisfactory answer, I'm sorry, but you will have to go without the snack." No bullshit. This is how it is. That's the sign of somebody of clarity. They just say it as it is. "No, you want to play on? But the poor guy was hungry, no?" And hunger is first on the list. When you are hungry, then that's the first on the list. You can't think about anything else then. And Tokusan was a proud and confident scholar. So he replied, "All right, you might ask me any question. Ask me anything. I have studied all the scriptures. I know all the answers." I'm a walking library. At this, the woman said, in the Diamond Sutra, it is written that past mind is unattainable, present mind is unattainable, and future mind is unattainable. No, she took away the whole blanket he was standing on. Everything disappeared now. In the Diamond Sutra, this is what it says in that scripture you have on your back. No, she showed that she is not an ordinary woman in this Diamond Sutra. And in fact, what she is saying, that is the essence of all the Diamond Sutras. It is written that past mind is unattainable. Past mind is unattainable, of course, because it's the past. Maybe you had a mind somewhere. Like they say, the golden past, no? The happy childhood. That mind is gone. Past is gone. It's unattainable. It's gone and gone forever. Present mind is unattainable. Because you can't have any mind if you are in the present. To be present, you have to be present. The mind has nothing to do there because the mind functions in the past or in the future. So she says, present mind is unattainable. Only now is now. Only the now is unattainable, is attainable now. And then you don't need any mind, you need awareness. You need presence to be present in the moment. Present mind is unattainable, and future mind is unattainable. The future hasn't happened. So what to say about the mind? It's just a dream. The old woman continued, you are going to light up your mind. Which mind now are you going to light up? Which mind? Your past mind? Are you here to study more scriptures, to get more garbage in your head? The whole thing is to drop the past and drop the future. There's nowhere to go. You can only wake up now. And in the now is no mind. You have to go somewhere else. No, the old woman is really shaking him. He must have felt very uncomfortable with his big wooden box. That's how they carried in the old days in Japan. They had a big wooden box loaded with the Buddhist scriptures. Huh? Heavy load. It doesn't matter if it's potatoes or the Diamond Sutra. It's a heavy load. And the whole essence is in these three lines that the old woman said. But that's the difference of realization and no realization, of understanding and no understanding. If you don't understand, you're trying to get more. If you understand, then you're trying to get less. Or, in fact, you don't try. You don't grasp anymore. You are relaxed. So why carry anything? The only thing you should carry is now. That is the whole message of the Buddha, is now. It's not the past, it's not the present, and you can't bring the mind now. Stop, she says. You are going to light up your mind. Which mind now are you going to light up? Tokuzan was not able to answer the old woman's question. He had to admit his inability to give the answer. And at the suggestion of the old woman of the tea house, he was determined to study Zen under Master Ryotan. This must have been her master. No, he got inside guidance. He was on his way to somewhere else. Maybe just some fake guy. But no, he had tasted something. And the old woman saw that this is a potential for this guy. No, you go there now. He must have been very happy. He dropped his plan where he was going. He followed that suggestion. Later, Master Ryotan and Tokusan were spending the evening together. No, he have settled down on the mountain now. And you can be sure that he doesn't carry his big diamond sutra. This is also what the woman is saying. Why are you carrying this? Find the real thing. If you go to the Master Ryotan, then you don't need your books then. It just looks stupid. And if you come with those books, then the first thing he's going to say, burn those. Let's have a big bonfire tonight. Because if you come to the Master, then you have to be ready to drop the past, including the scriptures that you're carrying. Otherwise, that will be between you and the Master. That is what the old woman was hinting. Why are you carrying this? You're looking for a real Master. Get rid of that. Get rid of your mind. Get rid of the scriptures. It can't help you. He will most probably beat you up if you come with that big box on your head. What kind of stupid disciple? They have many stories like that in Zen, that they're burning the scriptures, and the religious people get very upset. They're sitting, having a big fire in the night with the scriptures. Even the Buddha statues, there's many stories like that. And then the religious people come and they say, what are you doing? You're burning the scriptures, you're burning the Buddha. And the all the thing that the Master said, but it's a cold night. It's a cold night. It's very cold now. He lives now. So what? Should you keep the wooden Buddha or should the real Buddha be warm? That's the question. Should the Buddha be cold or should he be warm? Okay, then let's burn the wooden Buddha then. No, they must have settled down now, and this Ryotan was teaching him. Ryotan said, it's getting dark. You better return to your place. That is another thing. It's always difficult for the Master to get rid of the disciples. That's the danger of opening up, because you come to a limit and then it's so beautiful that nothing will take you away. So the poor Ryotan, he said, you know, I like to be a little alone. It's getting already dark. Go home now. He has to remind them. He knows, of course. Tokusan, he knows, but dragging it out. So even the Master have to say, you have to go now. But this is how it is. And Ryotan, he knows this. This is the game we are playing. What to do? Tokuzan said good night to the master and stepped outside. A few moments later, he returned to the master saying, "Master, it's so dark outside." No, maybe he was also trying. It's very dark and it's cold and maybe wild animals is there. Let me stay. I can't see anything, it's so dark. The master just lit the candle and gave it to Tokuzan. But just as Tokuzan held out his hand and was about to get hold of the candle, Ryotan blew out the flame. At this very moment, Tokuzan was awakened and made a deep bow to the master. You never know when the insight is going to come, when you're going to have a satori. It happens spontaneous. When it happens, it happens. And if you are in tune with the master, then it happens any moment. It's just to be in the present moment with the master. If you're in tune, then this awareness jumps. That's how it is with candles. One candle is flame, the other is not the flame. But it is a candle. So if the candle comes close, then you have a moment and you don't even know what happens, but the flame is just woof, it jumps. It is a certain distance that is needed. And then the flame woof goes to the other. Then both is flame done. But it has to be close. If one candle is here and one candle is there, then you can dream about the flame forever. Nothing will happen. And that is how it is. And you can carry around with all your books, all your ideas forever. Only thing you get is a bad back. And of course a big head that you have to protect. That's why people who know a lot, it's very difficult for them to find the truth because the knowledge keeps them away. First you have to empty yourself to be innocent. Then only can you be available. Don't you have a little spoon? Where's the spoon here? Love cake. Health, happy and delicious. Ingredients, a lot of love. Mixed with fruit and nuts. Spelt flour with trust power. Sweetened with happiness and honey. Beloved, my heart is just exploding in love for you, for the family, for all. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're Sujaya. Love cake. Love cake to you. You remind me also, you're such a nice drawer. No? Very nice. Sometimes, yeah, sometimes. Ve Devavi. That cake was also good. I liked it. Huh? And Ambika, that was very nice. But find another name for him then. Then they will be even better. Okay. Very good. Very good. Just so you know, it was hit. Why are you waiting? Nu är bara välstånda. They didn't have this cake in old China. And it's just getting better and better. Only miso or rice. It's good, but cake is also good. Cake is also good. We talked about the accident, so I have to read you another letter from Varuni, who would like to be here but is in Brazil. Beloved Babaji, I would like to share with you about the very sad and strong experience that I had a few days ago, which has been disturbing me a lot. It was on the evening of the 13th of June, when a dear friend of me, who used to practice karate with me, and his wife died in a violent car accident caused by a drunk driver. As he was Surabhi's brother, we were called in the middle of the night to help to do the practical things. We also had to go to do the recognitions of the bodies. When I went into the room and saw that violent scene, millions of feelings came up and many things started happen inside. I noticed that this mystic theory about that I thought I knew, didn't really work. On the contrary, the other extreme came up and took over me. Baba, a very intense and deep fear came from the inside of me. And in that moment, it was as if each cell of my body felt the panic that one day that will also happen to me. And the sensation that that can happen at any moment. This sensation invaded my being, especially when I realized that it could happen before I found my own essence, before knowing who I really am. Together with this, a very strong feeling of anger came up. I felt anger about this human conditioning of being born and dying. Anger for noticing that one day all of us will have to face the death of this body. And I felt much anger for being so identified with this body and with this person I think I am. Anger for seeing my friends in that state, unconscious. My wish was to mend what had happened, but I know things don't happen that way. I could only think, what the fuck is all this about? It was really a strong show of reality, which is still deeply disturbing me. I haven't been sleeping very well, and the things of the world have lost their meaning. I don't know if I'm totally lost or if I'm getting open for something new. What I know is that another perception about life is coming, and how fantastic life is. It is a shame that the human beings, including me, are still wasting so much time with non-important things. You see, teachings are coming when they come. And look now, because she knows she is with me, and she's looking at herself, this become a new opening. Because you can think about things or you can realize it. No, in this facing this that, facing her anger, her frustration, she went beyond the thinking mind, beyond the emotions, to see reality as it is. And how fantastic life is. It is a shame that the human beings, including me, are still wasting so much time with non-important things. I'm very happy because this is what I'm telling you all the time. What are you really doing with your life? And how easy it is to waste it. And only when you have a deep realization with what you are doing, then you wake up. Then you don't want to just waste it in non-important things. Now the sunset is so beautiful. The birds, the flowers, the wind, life in general. This is what that can do. It's a wake-up call. Otherwise, many people, you just go on living, you don't even know you're alive. I thank existence for this experience. I know there is nothing to be said, and the only thing I can do is to be more conscious about what I do, think and feel. Being more alert in the moment, I share life. But I have to confess that I'm missing you a lot. Missing the most beautiful love and peace, and all the peace that surrounds you. I really, really want to be close to you and a happy family. And even more when you wake up, because then you see more how precious it is. It is. Here it's so complicated to deal with everything that has been coming up. And so many unconscious people. But I believe and I know that it's not impossible. Because my heart is connected with you. And definitely this is what really matters. I love you with all the intensity of my being. Thank you for everything. For giving the understanding, for your love, compassion, and the moments that you share your infinite love with all of us. Thank you for all eternity. With much love, Aruni. I'm also very happy because you are growing up and becoming more and more beautiful. And more and more real. And then it's very easy to see things as they are. When everything falls into the right place. Lao Tzu says, welcome disgrace as a pleasant surprise. Prize calamities as your own body. Why should we welcome disgrace as a pleasant surprise? Because a lowly state is a boon. Getting it is a pleasant surprise, and so is losing it. He is saying success or failure, winning or losing, who cares? Don't get lost in that game. And many times by losing you gain. And I was reminded by the letter of Varuni. When you see the how things disappear and how quickly a life can disappear, then you have to trust something bigger. Not the body, not the physical, Why should we prize calamities as your own body? Because our body is the very source of all our calamities. That's why all the mystics say, don't rely just on the body. Don't rely just on the physical. Don't see only appearance. See also beyond. Find that which is beyond. All the mystics has reminded us about that. One of the most beautiful things the Buddha says, I always remember, he said, you too will die. Knowing this, how can you behave like you behave? This is the amazing thing from the enlightened person. Seeing how you behave, don't you know you also will die? How can you go on behaving like you do? Don't you know everything will die? Then wake up. Why should we prize calamities as our own body? Because our body is the very source of all calamities. All your problems, so-called problems, is in your body, is in your mind. Go beyond that and find peace. If we have no body, what calamities can we have? Hence, only he who is willing to give his body for the sake of the world is fit to be entrusted with the world. Only he who is willing to surrender to the whole, to love, can be trusted. Hence, only he who surrender to the Tao or to the Self, to God, in joy for the sake of love, of truth, is fit to lead the people, is fit to lead the world. Because he doesn't have any ideas or ambitions for himself. He sees the totality because he's part of the totality. Then you don't see it separately. You don't see the world as separately. You see the world as one part. We are all part. We are all one, but then you go into a totally different dimension. Not as separate. Not as conflict. But a deep understanding that this is how things are. And when you are part of everything, then there is peace. Then there is relaxation. And then it's not in your hands to do anything. You just relax with the whole. Then trust is coming. And with that trust, a deep acceptance and peace. Beloved, I see many things happening with me now, and I want to share with you. I feel a kind of slowing down coming from the inside, and more a wish to rest. I also feel myself more sensitive and vulnerable inside and outside. Sometimes a pain in my body, sometimes a deep pleasure. The energy moving and changing, flowing, opening and unblocking the old stuck stuff inside. Another thing I got is about the seriousness in me. I realize that still I play serious in many moments of my life, and I could relate it with many other things that comes together with, like fear and expectations. the picture of the laughing old couple in the stairs at the main house reminds me all the time about this playfulness. And of course, being with you here in satsang makes this playful softness of living much more real and possible to me. Some days ago, I had a dream that we were doing Tai Chi together in satsang, and you came moving towards me using totally crazy movements.
Me? À moi? Crazy movements? That's the worst thing I... In satsang? Your mind must be totally going, dreaming about these kind of things. That's good, Amamitra, at last. With no rules or style. That is my style. That's what I'm trying to teach you. That style beyond rules and style. Then I got that maybe I'm too serious leading the chi flow sessions. Yes, I was wondering about that too. But what can I do? It has to come from your own understanding, no? Otherwise, I don't interfere with people. Seriousness has its own reason, no? If you ask very serious, it must be for a reason. Maybe you're supposed to be serious a bit more. Who knows? Beloved, I feel myself more and more committed to you, to me, to the Sangha. Thank you for all your blessings. At your feet, Dhamma Mitra. Very good, Dhamma Mitra. I'm happy because you have been a little serious. And seriousness is very serious. In fact, it's the only serious thing that there is, seriousness. And of course, there is many levels of seriousness. At least 7 levels. Depending on you go up, then you're getting lighter and lighter. If you go down, you're getting more and more heavy. Which level are you on now? Huh? Don't know? And this thing with martial arts and Tai Chi, which comes from this martial arts tradition, it can be very serious. Because mostly man has been doing it. And then, of course, mostly big egos involved. So then it becomes very serious. I know that part very well. And I never found any good masters who was playful also. Except myself then. But I went a totally different dimension. And it was because of my master. I found that. It was a totally new way. But that whole martial arts tradition is very, very serious. And very male. And male tends to be very serious, no? Pretty stiff. I met many people that were very good in technique, in Tai Chi, Kung Fu, Karate, but no joy, because they were very tight, very tough. And then what's the fun? And they have missed that whole dimension of the flow in it. Because it's very beautiful, because if you feel it, it's coming from the center. Tai Chi, for me, is just the same as Vipassana. It's just that you start getting the whole body with you. Because Tai Chi should go, and that's how it is from the old days in Taoist and in China. It was a way for meditators to keep this flow of meditation when they were moving. Because when you sit, and they were sitting and sitting and sitting too much, they got totally out of shape. You have to move the body also. It has to be a balance. So this Tai Chi came from these monasteries that now they figured out a new way to move, but move meditative. So you're keeping the same space, but you move the body. So you get some awareness and some movement at the same time as you meditate. And then you can do it. It's the same thing in Vipassana. You can do the breathing, or can you? Your body breathes, you just move with it. Your mind is gone, you are just totally present in the moment with your breath. And for me, that is how Tai Chi should be. But it's impossible to do it. You have to allow it. And you have to come from that space. And if you haven't felt your center, it's impossible to do it. Because all the movements should come from your center, from your hara, from your belly, and evolve around there. And it's totally relaxed. And if it's totally relaxed, how can it be serious? Any seriousness must be someone who is doing it. And doing it perfect. How perfect can you move your arm? It just moves. But then you have to be away. It's the same with all this. But it's different steps, of course. Because first you have to learn it, and that takes practice. And when you learn something, then you don't know it. You don't know the art of it. You are not the master of it. Be that martial arts or Tai Chi or painting or music or dancing or whatever. So then a lot of practice, a lot of patience has to be there to learn the technique. Then that's the serious stage. Because you have to be serious to learn it. Somebody is learning it. Somebody has the interest of it. Then you have to practice it. And you can become then a master of it. If that is for your type, then you become very good in it. Then when you know you have learned all that you can learn about it, and you know it, and it becomes effortless. For example, moving. You know it's coming from there. It's effortless, whatever movements is coming. Then it's a new step that maybe then you will be used to create the whole new system. Because then you can make your own style. I made totally my own style. Because no style was so cool that I could make it. Impossible. But then it's different steps. And that's how I see all the artists should be. You have to learn it, and then you have to bring it to a new level then. You make it your style. If it's movement or music or art or drawing or whatever. Then, and of course then if you are a meditator, if you're coming more from the inside, then it becomes a beautiful art. It's bound to come a beautiful art because it comes from your own beauty. And I never found anybody
you had that.
Yes, I found some beautiful Chinese masters, but their tradition was also very serious.
And for me, there's no seriousness, because seriousness is tension. You have to be that somebody is serious. The whole existence is playful, is relaxed, is at ease. That is the natural state of things. It is at ease. Can you say that the day is serious today? Somebody must be there to make it serious. So everything that is natural becomes non-serious, in my experience. But you can't do that. It happens. It comes from the inside. And when you move like that, then a totally different grace is coming also, because it's not you moving, it's just the chi, it's just the energy, it's just the whole. That's why they have stories, and it's true, some of these masters who were really meditation masters and mystics, who had practiced these arts, nobody could beat them. And not that they were physically strong, but they were part of the whole, and they knew how to move, and they knew how to go with the energy. And, of course, they could feel the persons who wanted to attack. And if you are just seeing the situation, then it's very easy to move then. Because to be angry or to be violent, it means you're off your center. You can't be violent if you're in your center. It's impossible. Only if you are gone somewhere. That means you are unconscious. So a man of awareness can see that. It's very easy. But still, maybe they were serious people because of the conditioning or how it is for men in China or in Japan. There was just recently the master of Aikido, Ueshiba, very beautiful man, and he was very little man. But nobody could beat this guy. He became an enlightened guy because of his art. But nobody could beat him because he said he moved just like the universe. And everything in the universe is round. You know, the planets are round, the day and the night. Everything is round. It comes and it goes in circles. So he had realized in himself that he just moved like the circle. And people come and he was just spinning. He was just going with that flow, which was his own realization. But it's very difficult to teach that to somebody. Then it becomes effort. And I know a lot of stiff, serious Aikido people. Or any art that, in fact, should be very graceful. Because you can do grace, you can do flow, you can do meditation, it happens.
So that is good that you see it. And maybe you are too serious leading the chi flow. That I don't know. But at least you're looking at it. Just laugh a bit more and then soon it will change anyway. That's what you're learning here. But all these things, it can be very serious. In Pune, when we came back from America, then Osho said I should make a dojo in the ashram. And we made a dojo, and I had a martial arts department. But then many egoists were coming who wanted to be somebody there. So then I pulled out. But we could have it very playful, but many serious people are into martial arts, no?
you are lucky, Dhamma Mitra. You start laughing and you're seeing this, and also that I come in your dream and I will show you in the dream how it's done, okay? The style beyond style. The discipline beyond discipline. The understanding beyond understanding. The teaching beyond teaching. You can do it, but you can get it. It's a mystery. Huh? You can do it, but it still happens. It's like a neck. And all these things, like Tai Chi, is not for everybody. If it happens, and with me, when you're going deeper in yourself, whatever is there, whatever is natural for you, it will come up by itself. If it's drawing or painting or moving or sitting or dancing or Tai Chi or whatever it is, it will come up. It will be an interest for it. And then if it happens, it happens. It's so many different types and so many different paths that you have been on. Don't think about it. Let everything happen when it's natural. And you don't even need to learn it. You shouldn't need to learn it, because that is also an effort. If it comes, just play with it. But it can be very beautiful, because you get very grounded and you become very conscious of your physical body and your energy. It's very beautiful. But the main thing is to be very relaxed, not stopping your breath, let the breathing go effortlessly, and let the movements come with the breathing. Then you can play with it, sitting, walking, moving, whatever. Om Shanti.